Welcome back. We are in Hebrews 1:1. It is a long sentence, so we will pick up where we left off. Let's go. Hebrews 1:1. My apologies for being out for a few days. I've had a lot of things going on in my life, and in a few hours, I'm going to be attending the funeral of one of my best friends of the last 25 years, who passed away within about 3 weeks from diagnosis of cancer to passing away. So, very sad. Loved him, and We go on now to Hebrews 1, and it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. That's just part of the sentence, and then it's a semicolon. But this is a letter written to Jewish people, or formerly Jewish people, who are Christians. We today call them Messianic Jews. This is probably most specifically written to the Hellenistic Jews of the day, but it's applicable to any of the Jewish people. It's applicable to Gentiles, and it's applicable to us today because this is such a rich book. Every book of the Bible is profitable for every person who reads it earnestly, right? So what happened at that time is a lot of people were saying, hey, in order to become Christian, you have to become Jewish first, or really focused on your Jewishness and not Jesus, right? Because that's what the devil's always trying to do. He's always trying to say, hey, I understand that you have this Bible, you go to this church, but it's okay if you go over here and get drunk. It's okay if you go over here and go to this certain thing. It's okay if you're not around your family that much because you just need to work to provide, or you need to hang out with your buddies so you don't need that much time with your. The devil's always trying to get in our ear and convince us to do something that we ought not. Or he's trying to convince us to focus on rules and man-made rules and traditions, or on another religion that tells us we have to earn our way to heaven, to get into Catholicism, to Mormonism, to Jehovah's Witness, anything like that, Buddhism, Hindu, you name it, where it's all about earning your way to heaven and deeds. But Jesus says, no, it's just by Jesus alone. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation, right? You don't need anything except for Jesus in your heart. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All right. So here it says, whom he has appointed heir of all things. So Jesus is the heir of all things. You are co-heirs with him. You are not a child of God unless you are reborn. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, aka reborn, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you say, I'm not a Bible beater, I'm not reborn, then you're not a Christian. Jesus even said to us in Revelation, he said, you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold, and I will vomit you out of my mouth. People who just say, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church a couple times a year, I have a Bible, but don't do anything about it. Because James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Elsewhere we're told, be doers of the word, and not just hearers, deceiving yourselves. What does all that combined tell us? It means you have to be reborn. It's simple. You don't have to do anything to earn it. But once you're reborn, you have the Holy Spirit living in your life. So you're transformed. You are going to want to live a different life through your deeds, through your words, in your work, in your ministry. You're going to want to tell people a job about Jesus. You're not going to want to keep it private or quiet. You're going to want to be vocal and loud, but with meekness, with fear, with love, with attraction. Your goal is not to go out and accuse people, right? Intimidate people. God says, do not intimidate or accuse falsely and be content with your wages. So we're not to go out and point the fingers and be accusatory. Yes, we can hold people accountable for their sin, but we're not the ultimate judge. We're bringing it to light to help them work through those issues, kind of like a psychiatrist or a psychologist might do, if you will. But we are co-heirs if we have Christ. The moment you accept Jesus into your life, you are a child of God. Until that time, you're loved by God, but you are not a child of God. It's like someone maybe in an orphanage. They may be loved by the people who come and are looking to adopt a child, but unless that child says, yes, I want to be adopted. Now, this is an analogy, so it's not a perfect analogy, but let's say it's a 16-year-old in that orphanage or an 18-year-old in the orphanage, And the 18-year-old just says, no, I don't want to be adopted. I'm just going to stay here. That's probably the best example because you're thinking a two-year-old. Well, the two-year-old's not going to know. But the 18-year-old who fully has the right to comprehend and say, no, I don't want to be adopted, they're not going to be adopted. And the 18-year-old who says, yes, I'd love to be adopted, I accept your offer. That's how you become a Christian. You accept Jesus' offer. And when you do, you're a child of God and you are a co-heir with Christ. Everybody who accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior and is born again is part of the church body. Well, everybody now. Before Jesus, they weren't part of the bride of Christ, not considered part of the church, but they'll be in heaven if they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But God appointed Jesus over these things, and we're co-heirs. And during the millennial kingdom, so right now we're in the church age. It's going to end with the rapture. That'll happen in a second. And I don't mean a second from now, it could, but it's going to happen very quickly. And then you're going to have a tribulation period for 7 years and then a 1,000-year millennial kingdom and then the eternal kingdom. So during that 1,000-year millennial kingdom, we will come down from heaven with Jesus and we will rule and reign as kings and priests with him during that 1,000-year period, which is awesome. Then it says, through whom also he made the worlds, right? Who made the world? Yes. Jesus or God the Father or the Holy Spirit? Yes. The answer is yes. They all did, right? Three persons and one Godhead. They made the world, and they typically ascribe the credit to Jesus. And then verse 3. So it's one sentence here, but it's verse 3 that we're picking up on right now. He says, who being the brightness of his glory. And what does this mean, being the brightness of his glory? It's, I would say it's the reflection of God. So here's the question for you. Are you? Are you a reflection of God? Are you reflecting God? Think about it. Yesterday, this week, how are you reflecting God in your words? Are you telling bad jokes? Are you making fun of people? Are you gossiping? Are you saying bad things about your spouse or your kids or your boss or your coworker? Or, in the other sense, how many people have you told about Jesus this week? Have you texted anybody to tell them you're praying for them? Have you texted anybody to ask them how you can be praying for them? Have you shared a verse with anybody? Have you stopped anybody who's delivering food to your house or someone at work and saying, hey, how can I be praying for you? Right? What have you done to promote Jesus this week? And if the answer is nothing, don't feel bad about it. Just say, you know what? That's a great question. I'm called to do more. I'm called to tell people about Jesus. Let me do that today. Let me look for an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. Because if we're not telling people about Jesus, except for the people who are in our little Christian circle, then we're not really witnessing that much. So be bold, step out, tell people about Jesus in love, because that's what God calls us to do. It says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Let's look at John 14:9, which says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Right? So, he is the express image of God. We were made in the image of God. Do you think about that? Sometimes I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, I'm not the best looking person. I wish I was, but I was made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. God made us the way he wanted us to use the gifts that he gives us. We have different gifts and he wants us to use them for his glory. How are we doing with that, team? How are we doing with that? Are we using those gifts for his glory or just for our glory, to point the finger at us so that people will worship us and our works and, oh, look at what that person accomplished. Look how much money they made. Look how fast they are. Oh, they're the best coach. Oh, if you're doing it in the name of Jesus so you can glorify him, yes, but if it's all about you, then that's problematic. So be thinking about this. It says, in the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, his word is power. In John 1:1, we're told, in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is revealed to us specifically through the Bible. We have general revelation about God, but the Bible gives us special, specific revelation that we can see, and it's the Word of God. It's God inspired. It's God breathed. He used men like you and me to pen it, to write it in our own personalities. I didn't write it, of course. I'm just giving an example. But God is the author, and that is his word, and it is powerful. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins. Who purged our sins? Jesus. How did he purge our sins? On the cross, right? His blood was shed because how do we know? Because we go back to the Old Testament. It says, blood is required for the remission of sin. What was the first sin? Right there in the garden. And then what happened? Adam and Eve used to walk in communion, in just community with God and talk to him regularly. And then they sinned, and God came and he's like, where are you? Where are you hiding? Of course he knows where they are. But then they tried to cover up with fig leaves because they were naked, and they just noticed something was different, and they needed to be covered up. And he was like, that's not sufficient. An animal, he didn't say this, but you can read into it, an animal needs to be killed because blood needs to be shed in order for the remission of those sins. So he sacrificed an animal, took the skin of that animal, and then covered their bodies with it, like a swim trunk, so that they were no longer naked. And that's symbolic of covering sin, the atonement of sin. Jesus covered our sins. How did he do that? With his own blood, the blood of God the Father. And that is powerful. And that is why it's based on his finished work on the cross, not our works. Our works don't add anything to that. Our works are simply supposed to be a demonstration of the hands and feet of God to others so that they can see Jesus through our actions. But again, how are we doing on that, team? How are we doing on that? We're supposed to tell people who Jesus is with both our deeds and our words. Do your deeds point to Jesus, or do they point to the away from Jesus? Do your words point to Jesus, or do they point away from Jesus? Don't be quiet about your faith. Be public about your faith, not private. And then it says, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And you know what? We'll pick up here to... No, we'll finish this up. Here's what he sits at the right hand of God the Father. But I want you to think about this. Your childhood heroes will grow smaller in your mind as time goes on. And they're replaced. The record's beaten, or you see them old and frail, right? Think about that baseball or football player or recording artist or something, right? They're huge. They're like everything when you're a little kid. And then you get older and you're like, oh, they're frail. Oh, someone else broke their record. So that person's better than them, right? Not so with God. The more we age, the more we grow towards him, the bigger and better he becomes to us. We will never get tired of him or think of him as less, but always more if you're truly growing in him. So don't let God fade away. Grow towards him. Read the Bible and pray more. You'll grow toward him more, and you'll realize how finite your mind is and how infinite his mind is and how big he is. And then it says, so sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So let's pick up on that verse 4 tomorrow. Lots of application today, but maybe one of the biggest that just stands out in my mind is, how are you doing on your deeds and your words? Are your deeds what you do and your words what you say, pulling people away from Jesus? Or are your deeds and your words pointing them towards Jesus? Right, there's kind of three categories. Are you pulling people away because you're actually doing things that, you know, a Christian shouldn't be doing or saying? Or are you just kind of doing okay? You're not doing bad deeds, not saying bad things, but you're also not pointing anybody to Jesus. You're just being quiet and private. Or are you vocal and lovingly telling people about Jesus and showing people who he is through your words and using your money and your time and your energy? That's what we want to think about. Lord, help us to... First, understand what being reborn is by inviting you into our lives and then having the Holy Spirit live inside of us, Lord, and fill us so much that we overflow, that our deeds reflect you and that our words reflect you, that we're not silent. You don't call us to be silent. You call us to go and make disciples of all the nations. Help us with that this day, Lord, to be better than ever at that and have it top of mind. In your amazing name, amen. This podcast brought to you in part by the Portfolio Protection Store, where smart investors go to protect their life savings from stock market losses. Visit our website to register for our webinar, theportfolioprotectionstore.com. The webinar is about portfolio protection and safe money ideas for ages 50 plus. Visit theportfolioprotectionstore.com. Located in Austin, Texas, license number 288-7886.